Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 5 Adhikarna 3 Prakat and Aprakat Pastimes Anucheda 178 Revealing Prakat pastimes and entering apricot pastimes is suggested in questions and answers. Uddhava asks, O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.16 Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. My doubt is not dispelled. You previously said that I was qualified for karma by saying Mayi Sarvani Karamani Nirapeksha Samachara. With disinterest, give all karmas to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.22. Previous to that, you said the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is a temporary creation that is equivalent to what is made of Maya. When you perceive in the waking and what is made of mind when you perceive in the dream state, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.7.7. Therefore, bringing all your senses under control and thus subduing the mind, you should see this entire world as the object of enjoyment for the jivas, expanded everywhere, and you should also see the jivas as controlled by me, Paramatma, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.7 and 9. By these verses, you have told me to practice jnana. Now you give me qualification for bhakti by saying, surrender to me. I do not understand, and later you will give me qualification for karma again. Uddhava uses crooked words arising from Sakya Rasa. Sardarta Darshani 11.12.16. Though hearing and understanding your words, I still have doubts. I cannot understand what you said in the last three chapters. Why? This is because your statements, such as Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.10. The gopis were always completely attached to me with the deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akrura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, suffering extreme mental distress because of separation from me, they could not find any other source of happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.10. So these bewilder my mind. Thinking of what happened to the gopis' association with you, I cannot maintain my composure. Vriti, next the coordination of prakat and aprakat pastimes is illustrated with examples. So this is going into revealing prakat and suggest and entering aprakat. Okay, so he's showing the one, but he's also then entering about the gopis, how then they absorbing themselves in Krishna, then they enter the aprakat. Riti, next, the coordination of prakat and aprakat pastimes is illustrated with examples. Anucheda 179. The Lord speaks to remove the doubt in two verses and reveals his heart. Saesha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishtaha mano mayam shukshmam upetya rupam matra svaro varna iti stva Vishtaha. The Supreme Lord manifested prakat pastimes from the aprakat pastimes along with his vraja, which is the Lord's very life. Then he entered the apricot pastimes. He manifests himself to his associates with his senses, words, songs, and forms. To others, he is invisible. To some devotees, he is manifested in their minds. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 12, 17. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. O my friend Uddhava, do not think like this. In order to help all jivas, I am depositing with you the gems of methods to attain me. Bhakti, jnana, special qualities, yoga, austerity, and dharma, which should be understood by the best devotee. Right, so he's just saying he's leaving these with you because you will stay and you will preach. You know, I think maybe at this time he also doesn't know he's staying. You know, Krishna will go, but Uddhava will stay. And then he'll preach and he'll give this knowledge to Narayana Rishi. And so he's showing all the different aspects of how to attain Krishna. You know, in the direct aspects and in the supportive aspects, how they will be used nicely for Krishna. Because karma is used with detachment. So then one can solve that's the jnana. So that's the balance between the two, is that with proper knowledge of the soul and the soul's nature and relationship with the Lord, you perform your duties, whatever it is, according to your nature, acquired nature, but it's done with detachment. Right? Because the karmis won't say that. On that life, the jnanis technically won't say it on the other side. Not as a practice for attaining the Lord. Right? You may see that nowadays the Mayavadis, they talk about Nishkam Karma Yoga, or even about Bhakti Yoga, but it's not for them. It's for the common people. You know, people can't work on their elevated level. Right? So they'll say, but here's, no, these are ways, this is how the devotee attains Krishna. He's absorbed in Krishna, but for the body, he's taking care of the duties as they are to be taken care of. Right? You know, it's like we were discussing before, is that the duties, then it sets out who does what, who is in what position and everything, and relationships can go on. Because without knowing knowing the positions, how do you have relationships? Just like one that, I don't know if it's still there now, but before, is that in Japan, if two people meet, they don't know each other. The first thing they establish is who's who and who's in a senior position. Right? So they immediately just start taking, I'm, you know, this, I do this, I'm in this company, I'm in this position and that, and then the other guy says who he is, and then once they know, then you know how low you're supposed to bow. You know, are they equals? Who's senior? How much senior? Just a little senior or really senior? You know, or he's the CEO and you're just the janitor, you know, then it's a complete, you know, full 90-degree, you know, bend, you know. So it's just how relationships work. If you don't know who's who, how do you have a relationship? Right? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it just, for the devotees, it's just how you set the relationships that are going to be functioning in this platform. It's not the relationships there. It's the relationships here. But you have to have something to work with. And it doesn't matter. It's not about the prestige and position and that. It's just a matter of what one person has attained by the grace of the Lord and what they're doing. And so that position is then what you use for interacting with others. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But we make it into a bigger thing that is so important. Either it's not important because I don't see how I'm going to be prestigious, or it's very important because I'm prestigious. You know what I'm saying? So that's the aspect of, like you see, is what parts of Varnashram stay? Parts with prestige. Right? And then what parts of management stay? The parts with prestige. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that that's what we're conditioned to. We're used to that. We're used to the, you know, I say our whole focus has been Dhanam, Janam, and Sundarim. That's the whole thing. If that's in place, then everything works. So he's showing that, no, all these things are how you use in bhakti. That's what he's explaining to him. But he's saying, I'm confused because you're telling all these different paths and all that, and so what am I supposed to do? Yeah, especially because he's already told them about the gopis and their position and their mood and all that. So how is all this related? You do not have any hesitation to identify yourself with each of them, with each item, O Uddhava. Though I teach all jivas to practice jnana, karma, bhakti, yoga, and austerity, what I have just spoken, what I am speaking now, and what I will speak is directed to you alone. But have you become qualified for each process by such commands? To me, you are who you are. At this time, you cannot do all these methods. I say all this to you in a joking, comforting way. I and no one else, knowing the meaning of the Vedas, from which one can understand how one jiva becomes qualified for karma, jnana, or bhakti, according to its condition, I alone have appeared from the mouth of four-headed Brahma as the Vedas. Krishna then speaks this verse. Right? So he's the one who knows the Vedas. He's the only one who knows. He teaches it to others. Right? And then they know. So that's that's why Lord Chaitanya is so surprised. He says, Rupa Goswami knows. How does he know? Because only I know. So then it's by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. Right? I, the Supreme Lord, am called Jiva since I give life. I am that person, pointing with his forefinger. He touches his chest. I make my appearance in the Muladhara and other chakras, Vivardeshu, on Brahma's body. That appearance is further described. I enter the Adhara chakra, Guham, along with prana filled with subtle sound called Para or Nada, Goshena. I attain the subtle mental form, Manomayam, called Pashyanti in the Manipura chakra below the navel. And then Madhyama in the Anahata chakra in the heart. And finally Vishuddha chakra in the throat. I become gross sound called Vaikari. This is below the navel, I think. Yeah, okay. Called Vaikari, with short and long sounds, high, low, and medium pitches, and various syllables of the alphabet. I then become the various branches of the Veda, Sardarta Darshini 11, 12, 17. So he's everything. So he's sound, he's not, he's how it rises through the chakras, how it takes on its different forms and actions, right? And then how it becomes expressed as words, and how those words are based on the Veda. Right? So that's all Krishna. That person, Saha, meaning me, the cause of life, Jiva, giving life to Vraja, or the Supreme Lord, manifested in Prakat pastimes, Prasutihi, from the Aprakat pastimes, Vivarta, along with Vraja, Goshena. Oh, see, he's connecting all that with the yoga system, with the chakras. As the chakras come up, it says, in other words, there is the life, there's that first thing, then there is then there's from the apricot, then you get the prakat. You know? So that's why he was saying the one thing, and then he's saying it based on this one, because it comes from the next. Because manomaya would be the third chakra. Right? Does that make sense? You know, but he was saying because the apricot, it means the prakat, are manifest based on the apricot. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Along with Vraja, Goshena, equal to my very life, pranena, and then entering apricot pastimes, guham pravishtam, I manifest stavishtaha, myself to the intimate associates with my senses, matra, words, swara, song, varna, and form. To others I am invisible, shukshmam. For more distant devotees, I am understood by the mind, manomayam. So interesting is that in that verse there, and in the purport, then he's saying this, and then Jiva Goswami is bringing this out. So, in other words, Jiva Goswami is mentioning that here, in the context of that verse, and then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport, is bringing out how he is all these things, and that's, so we're seeing it here, it's on the platform of jnana, we see it like that here, but he's showing how it's on the platform of the transcendental pastimes of Vraja. So in other words, that's where that whole process starts.
And also, when Jiva Goswami shows the normal tattva aspect, then Vishwanath Chakravarti generally, he shows the rasik.
Mm-hmm.
But when here it's the opposite way. He showed the tattva aspect and Jiva Goswami was showing
the rasa aspect.
So basically whatever is not mentioned, that
the other one will be there. So then you always know the connection, because the one connects to the other. So it seems that it's all in this dry thing like this, but actually, no, it's connecting there. So that's why the sahajyas make a major mistake, because then they leave out, then what are you going to talk about? So then, for the sahajyas, what's the point of Tunga Vidya in the pastimes? She knows all the Vedas. She knows all the Vedic literature. That's why she's, and so anytime there's an aspect where you'll bring that in, then that's what she does. And so you have to really know the fine technical points to connect it all together, like all the astasaki. You can connect them all to the different planets. And there's a progression in the planets, right? Who's where, who moves where, and who's because of this moves that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand the pastime? No. It means there's a pastime where you know, somehow or another they're not together, and then I think it's maybe Tunga Vidya or something that comes up in this way, is how he is the sun and the source of everything, or like here in this, he's Jiva, you know, he's the life. Then how he would move and how he'd be connected with all the planets, and so that way then he connects them with all the gopis. How would you do that? So according to sahajyas, all they sit around there is do all days go and that's it. Because even they talk rasa, it's a science. It's technical. No, it's just about the feeling. Well, what about the science? Hence, rasa bas, all these other things, completely bogus. You know, what is the other? Baba bas, you know, and you know all the other. What's the one, the pretending one?
Nisattva.
You know, you end up with all these things because they don't know the science. They reject. So here you see is in the science, all these things are there. And then from that, then you can also understand how Krishna has expanded everything. So even as he's there as in this capacity and this way, but still then his internal potency, it's the same principles, it's all there here. Does that make sense? It all works together. So that the two, they all, there's no such thing as, you said, as contradiction, or this thing is that it's, that rasa and tattva are duality. That's for us to think on the conditioned platform. But on the absolute platform, there is no difference. One is talking about the other. One's the experience of the other. You have to have the situation. You have to have action. It's done in a certain way. Mother Yashoda is cooking for Krishna. There's a technique. You know, she's not a bohemian that's going to go in there and play bongo drums and just whatever happens is going to happen. No? This is science. You ever heard of Mother Yashoda playing bongos?
No.
No, okay, so it's not happening. No? Anucheda 180. An example makes the manifestation of the prakat pastimes clear. Yatan nala ke nila badhur ushma balena darun yadhi matya manaha anuf prajato havisha same dhate tataiva me vyaktir iyam hi vani. When sticks of kindling wood are vigorously rubbed together, heat is first situated as heat in the wood, and then by assistance of air a spark of fire appears. Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added and the fire blazes. Similarly, I gradually become manifest since these are my words. Udriti Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The gradual manifestation of the Vedas is described with an example. Fire resides as invisible warmth in the space within wood when the wood is first rubbed. With more rubbing of the wood, fire appears a small amount with the aid of air, such as a spark. When it clearly manifests as fire, it then increases with addition of ablations. Similarly, I appear gradually as the sound of the Vedas. Without me, who will understand the deep meaning of the Vedas? Having understood who will establish the methods of bhakti, jnana, and karma by delivering the jiva from samsara. By mercy, I am now giving these methods to you, the most qualified person equal to me. The sages in Bhadradigashrama, receiving this knowledge from you, will be successful. Right? Because Narnarayan Rishi means he goes and speaks this to Narnarayan Rishi. Right? Because Krishna has sent this message. Now, Narnarayan Rishi sitting there and hearing this, Narnarayan Rishi is the Lord himself. But who's there? They're not alone. They're with all these great sages. You know, all the big, big sages, they all hang out there. You know, all the Devala, Sita, they're all the ones that hang out with them. So then they'll hear all this. They'll become successful. Right? So then Krishna's pointing out it comes from him. And then, with the addition of things, with the devotional, with the activities, then one can attain Krishna. So in other words, the aprakat is attained through the prakat, through then the devotional process that we are able to connect to. But that whole line is given by Krishna. He is the Veda. He is the essence of the Veda. So understanding that essence, since the aprakat are the essence, that's there in the prakat, that's there in the processes, that's you know, and the knowledge, that's there in the Vedas. So then by that, then it comes out the other way. Just as the fire comes down this way, then also taking the Veda and that, it can go the other way. That's why also then, you know, the many times the technical points that can be seen in one way, descending, and also, I mean, how you say, how they come down from the Lord to the jiva, and then how the jiva then following that will come back to the Lord. Right? In other words, if I give the descending process, but it's still, your following is still the descending process. So it looks like ascending. That's sort of the mistake. Like, let us say something's up and you're down in the hole. Someone gives you a rope. That rope descended. Now you're going to climb that rope. So it looks from mundane vision as if it's an ascending process. But you're only going up step by step in the descending process. Because the descending starts from the top and then comes down to where you are. So then you take step by step up till you get to the top. It's not an ascending process where the guy sits there and then, what do you call it? You know, he gets out as that funny little kind of flute that buzzes a lot and then plays that and then the rope goes up like this and then he climbs up the rope and disappears. Right? So it's not like that. That makes sense? So, even though it may appear, it's not, because it's been given, it's based on Shabda. So if we don't take Shabda as the basis, we take our logic, or the other things of the material realm, then we try to apply it and attain Shabda, then it will be ascending. So that we're trying to connect to Shastra, that's always good. But there's always the danger that we may get distracted, since the basis is not the Shastra. If something's wrong, we won't try to correct it if it's right with our observation, but wrong with the Shastra. Well, if it's descending, it's wrong with the Shastra, we'll try to adjust until it's right with the Shastra. So the ascending is on its own is useless. But in the descending, as it comes down to us, then because we know the goal and the process is as we apply and where we see it goes wrong, we correct it until we get to the top. Because it's descending, we've been able to see the top. But by ascending, you'll never see the top. You don't know where you're going. You just don't know. The example of appearance of the Lord is partial, showing the gradual stages. In the third canto, Uddhava also says, Ajopi jato bhagavan yatagnihi. The Lord, though unborn, appears like fire. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.15. In other words, with the devotion of the devotees, he appears. He's unseen, but he appears. Like in wood, there's already fire. But it manifests because of the process we follow. Vyaktihi means manifestation. I manifest in this way because he, this is my word, and I alone know my secret. It is not impossible to do. The next verse removes doubt by using different examples to support the meaning of the previous verse. Evam gadhi karama gatir visargo. That these you're saying that there's a problem and you're explaining the different things, and as long as it's dwait advait, then prakrat and aprakat, you know, kind of work. But to show the simultaneous, it's a problem, you were saying, before you're discussing. So he's now giving how they relate, how they exact, you know, how it functions. He's giving this thoughts. If you don't understand this technical philosophy, how will you understand? So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're thinking it's going to be through some sentimental thing I'll understand. No, this is if you hear it, it makes sense to you, you're good, right? Because there's some understanding or some glimpse by Krishna's grace. If you don't, then this is the knowledge that can show how it functions. So in other words, so it comes down to you explain it, they understand it, good. You don't, it doesn't matter. The point is, as Shastra says, like I was hearing today, Srila Prabhupada, someone in the class, someone asks Prabhupada, why it mentions, you know, in Nectar of Devotion that the devotee shouldn't wear blue or red, right? And Prabhupada said, the main point is that the Shastra said it, we accept it. It's not until it makes sense to me, then I accept it. No, I accept it. Then, it's just like we don't understand about cow dung or the conch shell being pure, even though the stool and bone are impure. But then the Veda says these are used in the deity room. We accept that. Then later we may know the science. Right? But the point is, as Prabhupada says, we accept it. Right? Because we've accepted the process, we've accepted the position of the Vedas, the spiritual, we accept it. Then we may be able to understand. So Prabhupada only made that point. He says these other things can be known later. Because as soon as you say, well, Balaram wears this, oh, but no, but you know, following this, why can't we weigh on? It'll just keep going on. You know? Does that make sense? So there is the point is that this is what it is. Accept it. It's not that the fall of the jiva depends upon if we accept it or not. It has absolutely nothing to do with us whether we accept it or not. Or how the prakat and aprakat pastimes. Like we saw on the prakat, and that those that in the mode of ignorance, they just see the external forms of it and that's it. So like we said before in that article, when they go to Vrindavan and just see the pigs and the garbage and this and that, and that's how he's describing Vrindavan. That's a view from the mode of ignorance, according to what the Acharyas said. And so Prabhupada said this is not a proper description. You know, why pick that? Why didn't you pick the trees or the birds or the weather or the nice sounds of the birds? Why did you pick? Why are you looking in the gutter? You're walking on the road. To get to the pigs and that, you have to look down into the gutter. That means, who's walking there? Do we walk in the gutter? You know, is it our business? No, the bungies take care of it. That's their business. And if you look, it's clean. Why? Because they came and they did their duties. So what's your duties? To know about Krishna and know about the transcendence. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Evam gati karma gatir visargo. Grano raso drik sparsha shutis cha sankalpa vijnanam ata pimanaha sutram raja sattva tamo vikaraha. This also gives the explanation, because you were saying the other day, people are going, okay, you're going up through the cantos, you're developing and bringing up the, you know, the consciousness set, and you get the 10th canto, it's fabulous. Why 11th canto? Right? But then we see here is that 11th canto is explaining the philosophy of the subtleties of the 10th canto. Yeah. You know, the other first nine qualify you to actually appreciate that the 10th canto is there. But then how all that mechanically works and all the fine points of the sandini, all these things, how they relate, that's in the 11th.
Yeah.
So we, you know, I mean, now that we're seeing how the Acharya is explaining, you can see that's what's going on. So same way in Gita, he explains, you know, the yoga ladder, then, you know, the middle six chapters on bhakti and about Krishna and his as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and about bhakti. And then the last chapters are the technical points, how we can discern what to do in bhakti and what not to do, how to not get distracted.
Yeah, also, if we look from a not necessarily scientific, but artistic part of the human nature, that to get to the main act, you have to prepare the person for the main act. Then it happens. And then after that, it's natural for somebody who saw the main act to contemplate what just happened there. And then there's an explanation. It's quite natural, actually, for thoughtful people.
Yeah, oh, that's a very good explanation. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, yeah. Because then the critique will come afterwards.
Yeah. Because you contemplate what I experienced just
yeah, yeah. How, because this Rupa Goswami is telling all those different, you know, elements, the primary and secondary themes, and how they each develop and how they interact, the sandhis and all that. Then afterwards you can analyze it. Oh, this was here, that was there, and everything like that.
So it makes perfect sense, but you have to be, you know, thoughtful. You can't just experience something and just move to the next. That's what happens today.
Yeah.
Just newness of the thing.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah. Well, it's like the also that aspect of what is it? Pratigya. And what's in it? Then you have Sangraha. And what the third one?
Oh, that is Sangraha, Sutra, and Nirukta.
Nirukta. Sangraha. Sutra,
Nirupta.
First one, Sutra?
Sutra, yeah.
So Sutra, that means that you give the essence, like the Pratigya,
yeah.
Right? Then you give an explanation of it,
yeah.
You know, to be able to use it, or to appreciate. Then you have the Nigama? No.
Nirukta,
which means all the whole full thing.
Yeah.
Then after that, then, as you're mentioning, then you can have comments on how that works, what connects together, how's the flow, everything like that. So then the analysis then becomes.
Yeah. Then you're able to taste the act again in a different, you know, slightly different light.
Yes, yes.
It gives you more pleasure. So it's all rasa, but the approach should be, as in the books of the Acharyas, not whimsical.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise everything becomes really shallow.
Yes. Like noticing when it was first being pointed out to devotees that there's depth in Krishna consciousness, right? You know, and that, you know, come from the 90s, that there's some depth there, and that we should, and that depth should be applied in our life in the practice of our devotional activities, you know, so that we can go deeper and deeper. And so in that, then, you know, it was appreciated and many could, you know, very nicely apply. But also you had the aspect where just because that was a new concept, even though Prabhupada would talk about it, but it would be a new kind of concept and how to use and all that. And then from that, then, you know, it gave rise to the nice, appreciating the nice pastimes of the Lord and all that. That then you also had this a side thing developing where everything was about you in different, you know, in different, like whenever there was a gathering, a big gathering, they had to, whoever was leading the kind of discussions had to tell new stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking here and there and everything, you know, even like in that, you know, that story of Tulsi and Shaligram and you know, that curse and where was it? Who was the demon?
Shankachuda
and like that. And so, you know, so this would have been a different millennia for a different Shankachuda for all this, or it was, you know, within the thing that it's not important for when we were hearing it in 10th Canto. And so then, you know, all that came up and it's a new story, it's that and everyone. But then the problem comes up is because it's just new stories, like you said, it's shallow. it's not going into the depth, then people can't understand, well, how can this happen? How can there be curse? How can there be all these things? How would this happen, this immorality? But it was a story from the mode of passion Puranas. So that's going to catch the attention of people in the mode of passion. They're supposed to connect to the Lord and go on to goodness. But if you're not explaining the analytical aspects, you know, in other words, you've got, but what are the deep, then how do you build? So it's just a mother story. And then how long could they go on finding newer and newer stories till all the stories that have been revealed to us have been said? You know what I'm saying? Means you heard Krishna book, okay, you get a few more details in Bhagavatam itself, right? Then what is it that Ananda Vrindavan Champu tells a little bit more, you know, and there's a few other things here, a few places that, then what?
Go to Devi Bhagavat and describe on Parvati.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah, oh really? Yeah. It's fine stories, or Katachara Sagar or whatever. Yeah, then you can go on. But then they have to drop out of things. So then the thing comes, it's about telling stories rather than what's the meaning of the stories. Like, to qualify yourself for the stories, it wasn't just the story, you had to be qualified to hear the stories. And then having heard the stories and being qualified, now you should understand the stories.
Then they become professional
Bhagavatam
disciples.
Yes.
But they cannot compete with the Indian ones.
No, because they're just so much more.
Yeah, just from 6 year old, they know in and out of.
Yeah, they know the stories, but they know how to say it.
Say it.
That's the whole thing, is the tone of voice. You know? And then, you know, and everybody's what? You know, so that's the, what was it? Was that Arabian Nights?
Oh, yeah.
The guy said, if in your first words you haven't got their full attention, you didn't start the story right. If it takes time and then you have to work this way and that way to catch, says no. It has to be the first words, you've got the attention. So, I mean, that's the Arabian Nights. Where did they get it from?
From the Indian.
So that's the thing like that. You know, and if you keep going west, then you end up with the Shanghai Nights. But no, I'm talking about, you know. Yeah.
And so, then there is music. All the band.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. When everyone falls asleep, then you start the kirtan. And yeah, it's the whole thing is there. Yeah, so the appreciation. The appreciation then is there, but then, like you said, it just becomes entertainment. Then it's kind of like you entertain. Like sometimes you're sitting there, you go, and, oh, tell us about how you met Prabhupada and all that. But the way they're asking is kind of like, you know, dance, monkey. we want to be entertained, you know. You're here, you're new, you know, you're fresh meat, you know, here in the assembly, you know, let's produce. And it's kind of like, what are you talking about? What has it got to do with you? I don't know who you are, why I should tell you. You know? But for some, it works very good, and they can do on that, and then from that, they'll take it into other things, and it works great. So you find those who can tell stories, and then get into the philosophy, and then change people's lives, then it works really, really nice.
So basically, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah. It's a cultural thing, just how to do. So, in other words, they will talk about the details. Maybe not right now, but they will. Because then, later in the day, when they see you doing something, then they'll say, didn't you understand from the story? It means this. You're doing this, but you're supposed to do like that, or this mentality, or that, or, you know, then you have to call all the brahmacharis together and, you know, hey, this is what's going on here. Why are you guys? And then you show in the story where that point was. Then that's how the acharyas are doing. But if you just tell stories because it catches and everybody loves stories, then it's not enough. Like, I don't know, have you seen these things Indradyumna Maharaj is doing in Orissa now?
I saw the pictures.
Okay. That first, that he did a video. Did you see that first one? The first one he did?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's there at the pastime. So in the pastimes, he's talking about what happened and this and the Pandavas. Pandavas were there for some time in their, you know, in their exile. They built temples there. So there's five temples there, and they did their worship and all that. I think the main one in the middle is Yudhishthira's temple. But it's all Vishnu, you know, related. Old, old stuff, you know, very ancient temples. And so then, in that, but he's talking about, you know, being in the material world and the living entity, how they have to, you know, and he's talking about from the Pandavas, how they overcome. They're in exile. They're kicked out of that, but they're building temples and worshiping the Lord and doing that. They're taking advantage of their of the situation to worship the Lord. And he spent, you know, 8 minutes, 10 minutes on that. So, you know, and he's one of the ones that are really famous for stories. But in that, he works in all that philosophy and technical things, how you can use and then how he can say it nicely. It's very nice and very attractive. You know, it's very smooth. It's not like a sledgehammer. Sorry about the sledgehammer.
Everybody has it.
Yeah, I'm just actually, my favorite is the steamroller. That's not the sledgehammer, it's the steamroller. Steamroller, you know what they flatten the roads with? You put down the asphalt and then those big rollers come in and roll over. So, you know, it's like in the Looney Tunes, you know, then what is it? The Wile E. Coyote gets run over and he's like a piece of paper, you know. Then he has to go like this and lift himself up and then, you know, off the thing and then poof, and then go back.
Everyone has their expertise.
Yes, yes, so, like that. So, I guess as a kid I was impressed with that one. So I use that technique.
Yeah. I guess the most important part is to...
Yeah, but the thing is who picks himself up? He's been given the thing that he's been steamrolled, that he picks himself back up. You know? You always see. That's the funny part. Their arm comes out, grabs the top of their head, and pulls themselves off of the pavement. Like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you still, even if you get flattened, you still have to pick yourself up. See?
Everybody has their own duty.
Yeah, yeah. So see, the Looney Tune gurus, they understood this. Did we finish the Sanskrit?
Yes, Mark.
Oh, we did. Okay. I started and then I finished. Then I said, okay. Now, what am I saying? Similarly, speech, action, motion, excretion, smelling, tasting, seeing, touching, hearing, deciding, discerning, identity, mahatattva, and transformations of rajas, sattva, and tamas are my material manifestation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.19 Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just as the Vedas which arise from my form appeared from the body of Brahma, material sound arises from the body of material persons in a corrupted form. Gadihi refers to speech using the material voice. Shruti says, Chatvari vak parimita padani tani vidur brahmana ye mani shinaha guha trin nihita ne nen gayanti turiyam vacho manushya varanti. Wise men know the four aspects of speech, but they do not reveal the three aspects hidden in the body. Men speak the fourth form. Rig Veda 1:164.22. Yeah, so that what mentions there is before Krishna, he was revealing in what do you call it? I quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in 11th canto to Uddhava. He's revealing how sound works, the three hidden forms and then the fourth form. But then he was even taking it beyond and showing then how that it's there, then how that's put into action and everything and how all the different things like that. So and then Jiva Goswami is showing the same aspect and how that manifests praja. Right? And so then here he's saying that men speak of the fourth, they don't reveal the three, because who wants to hear? That's the meaning is this. Speech is measured in four phases. They are called para, situated in prana at the base of the spine. Pashyanti, situated in the mind. Okay, situated in the prana at the base of the spine. Pashyanti, situated in the mind, in the navel. Madhyama, situated in the intelligence and the heart. The sages do not reveal their forms. The fourth, called Vaikari, is speech in the vocal organ. Right. So the second one they don't really get into. It seems to be where the energy comes in. You know, like that. But it seems to be all part of that aspect of the base of the spine.
Which sages don't reveal their forms? What's this
connection? They don't reveal because all these people just, what you said, people don't want to follow. It means the Veda says do this, people don't want to follow. Why get into all what's behind it? You know? Does that make sense? Because the point is now, you have the aspect that, okay, you can tell the technical points. The Veda says this, these are the technical points behind it. We're not talking about the technical points and mechanics, we're talking about how we got there. Now, who knows these? The sages. The sages, do they have faith in the Veda? In Shruti? Yes. Now, if someone doesn't have faith in Shruti, why talk these things? It's just more stuff for them not to believe in. So that's the subtleties that are there. Plus, there are also the things that are backup. You know, how Krishna is there, and then he's the jiva, he's the life of everything, he's the prana, which means then there's going to be activity. Right? And then there's going to be what was the fourth one? The intelligence, you know, then there's going to be what the activities are done through. Then there's going to be the activity itself. Right? So Krishna, he's the attractive feature. It means the living entities are coming from Krishna. He's attractive, he's active, he's sentient, he has taste, rasa. Therefore, the living entity coming from him has that. But all those things, they're coming from Krishna. So if you don't connect those to Krishna, your body, mind, words, your sense, everything to Krishna, then you don't actually get the taste you're looking for. Because you'll get taste, but it's not one that will satisfy the soul. 8,400,000 species, now that's a wide variety of tastes. But who's satisfied? Right? No one's satisfied. Therefore, then one has to connect that to Krishna. When you connect that to Krishna, then it has meaning. Right? But that explanation people may appreciate or not, but if you talk about how, you know, you just take everything and according to the acharyas and devotional activities, to do things for Krishna. Right? We get back to he's the life, he's this, he's that. But how is he this? But then how is it that? And like this, no, it makes sense. You use it. Does that make sense? But the main is on that fourth. The other things you don't remove because they're there as parts. It gives some backup for it. But if you have to use that to convince, that means they don't have faith in the Vedas, or in the process, or something like that. It can't be from there you'll understand. No, it just creates more confusion. Yes?
In one sense, we see Srila Prabhupada very strong on the point you have to accept Shabda.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he mentions often that don't be a blind follower.
Right, right.
So, and this, you know, question we get very often asked
from
devotees. So how can we reconcile? What's the main difference of being follower?
Means you're not a blind follower, but means is every aspect of the Vedas up for us having faith in the Vedas or not?
I don't think so.
No. The point is once you've appreciated that the Vedas are the source of knowledge, we have to that, then you have faith in the Veda. Further discussion, I mean, you're not a blind follower. You've already done that. This may be a new aspect, so you inquire into that. But it's not that makes or breaks it your faith in the Veda. Like you see, is everything's going along, then this temple president does this, or that devotee does that, and your whole faith in the movement and the acharyas and everything, you know, is shaken, and you don't know what's real and all this, so I'm going home to my mom. You know, so then? So what does that mean? Is it, that's not a matter of... But you know, they want to know. They want to know all details. No, that's gossip. That's not knowing the subject. The subject is the Vedas. That's what Prabhupada started with. The Veda says. Now, details. If it's something that you could understand, like we see is when you're having inquiries. You know, when you're talking like in Mahabharata and other things where you're seeing the culture. Then many times, if it's something that appears that's not just a standard thing, it's not like, oh, how many people are coming for dinner or something, they'll say, "Is you know, please tell me if I'm qualified. If you feel I'm qualified," at the same time as, you know, it's natural that, you know, someone who has a relationship you don't hide anything from, but at the same time as I do have a qualification, because say, you shouldn't hide because we have this relationship. Okay, that's their position, but what about yours? Do you have the qualification to hear? So the thing is Prabhupada is saying you're qualified to understand this point. These other points, then it's going to get into all these points of rasa and all that, and that Radharani wears that color, and Balaram wears that color because they're attached to it, and we're servants of the servants. We don't wear that color. You know, so how are they, you know, at that point, how are you going to understand those aspects? Because even now, I keep hearing the question come up. This answer has been given a long time ago. So who's giving the answer? Who's putting it on? Who's taking it further? Why am I hearing it again? Every 5 years, you know, somebody brings it up. You know, but I mean, people aren't discussing, people aren't getting down to the processes that are there and something, and you have to start from scratch. It's like nothing's been discussed. So what are they talking about?
I guess every 5 years, the new generation of devotees coming. So
yeah, that's there. That's fine. But then, what is the previous generations doing when they're talking about, you know, community development? Who's preaching to them? Who's training them? You know, other than give money to the temple, accept the authority of the GBC blindly, and Haripal. You know, I think we're done, right? Is there something else we missed? And it's Prabhupada and everybody else is a schmutz. Did I miss anything?
Oh, it's some bad name.
Complete.
Surrender is not in there. Money is the priority. I guess Prabhupada is in some bad name.
Yeah, it means that he's a relation, nothing else is a relation. So the point is who's talking to them? Who's training them in all these things? Prabhupada, you see, he's training. It's a new batch. You know, when it was in the 60s, it's a new batch. He is training them himself. You see how he's training. Then later, he's just putting online because now he has GBCs, he has sannyasis, he has temple presidents, he has senior devotees and preachers and senior grihasthas and, you know, brahmacharis that they're supposed to train. You know, all the new people. Because the Prabhupada's point was you train what's up and they train what's down. It means he speaks to the temple devotees go out and talk to the karmis. Not the Prabhupada goes out and talks to the karmis. Because you can go and give one lecture, it's nice, but who's going to follow up? That's them. But by giving one class to the devotees who are dedicated, that can inspire them. But in one class to the karmis, it's not enough. They may take an interest, but then how about culture? That has to be done by the devotees. Yes?
Also, this aspect of blind following comes in the level of avideya, where intelligence has to be applied on how to use knowledge. Veda is knowledge, so there is no point that whether you accept or not, you accept it. But how do you use it, that's where then you have to see whether you are applying your intelligence, buddhi to apply, or you are just blindly following.
Yeah.
So then it's where the individual gets involved and try to apply, that's when whether you're doing blind following or
it's an application. What we look at it just as knowledge. In other words, if I don't understand it, then it's blind. But the point is I'm blind. Why would I project that on the process?
Yeah.
You know, inquire. How are you going to use that in your life? Like you see so many questions. They have nothing to do with how you'll use it in your life, how to improve your own understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's just gossip. You know? Because there needs to be a depth. Otherwise, it's just like this. Let us say you have some grade schoolers, right? And you explain to them quantum theory, right? Okay, now, they understand everything? No. So therefore, next year when it comes time for physics, they're going to have all the same questions, right? And you can come bring in the, explain it again. And that's going to go on until, you know, when they hit the, you know, the undergraduate, it's going to start to be a glimmer of, oh, okay, there's something there. Then the postgraduate more, then they're one, you know, the doctorate, then it's, okay, now it makes sense to some degree. So the point is there is the qualification in these areas. That's why certain things are not that important. We make the report, no, because I got to know, because I have to be the best, I have to know everything. But the thing is no, you want to know everything by the sun. Or the examiner, either one of them, you know. You don't know these ones? In England, there are the tabloids there, the big popular tabloids. It's journalism that's meant, it's gossip. It's just pure 100% gossip. You take something that's just ordinary and try to make fluff it up into something, you know, whoa, wow, like that. Yeah. I think in India it's called Stardust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the magazine here, Stardust.
Oh, I see.
Otherwise, it sounds like you're by the sun as a planet. No.
Yeah, that you could do also. I'm sure there's people in some place in New York or London who are selling plots on the if they sell plots on the moon, why not on the sun?
I just didn't see the connection first.
Yeah, it means you can collect. Means you see where on the sun the flare's coming out, because then that's extra energy. And when it comes out of your area that you've bought, then you can go and collect from all the governments and everybody, because they owe you. It's your part of the sun. No, it's they're, you know, you want to know everything, go buy those, you know. You want to know the absolute truth, and you hear from authority. And it's, you have to apply. If you're not applying, otherwise, these things, what are you applying in your life? Okay, you're this, what are you applying in your life? No, until I know, I can't apply anything. But that means that's not the process. Right? You're learning cooking. What's the first thing you do when you go into the kitchen to learn cooking? Right? They give you the pot and all that and go for it. You're doing all the technical things. Or you're washing pots and cleaning. And maybe, you know, when you get dad's good, then you start cutting things. And, you know. You know, you're doing all the backup stuff. And when you can do all that nicely, then you start watching what they're doing. Because unless you have an area, you don't know. You don't know. It's not because you saw it, you can do it. I remember even I knew cooking. And I'd watch Didyma cook something, and in my mind, oh yeah, I understand that. I go to cook it, I couldn't cook it because I wasn't paying attention to how long they were doing, because it was a special recipe. Like, was the chance cooked more or less, or this or that, or you know, these kind of things. And so then, yeah. So the point is blind means. Blind, when you say blind following, there's a point of following, means you're doing something, you're going somewhere. So are you applying that in what you're doing? That's where it comes. So the question is I don't understand how to apply it. But that it's correct, that I accept, but I don't understand how it applies, so I can't use it. But if I've accepted the Vedas, I've accepted Prabhupada, the Acharyas, what they say is correct. But to say, unless I understand it, then it's blind following. No. How are you applying that in your life? That you don't understand. Now that's blind following. So someone just accepts and just does but doesn't know what they're doing, that's blind following. But to say is that until I understand it, that it doesn't have authority, it doesn't exist. That's Buddhism. You know? And, you know, Lord Buddha looked good. He looked good. No?
Yeah.
Just saying. You know, if someone's saying that they're the Buddhist, then. Just as speech is manifested from me, the actions of all the senses of the total and individual jivas are manifested from Prakriti. So then, so the speech comes from Krishna, and everything else is coming from the material energy. It means it's his potency, but she rises. So speech, that's supposed to be based on the Veda. That all comes from him. That whole process comes from him, because that's why the hearing is the most important. Action is the function of the hands. Movement is the action of the feet. Excretion is the function of the anus and genital. These are all action senses. Smell is the function of the nose. Taste is the function of the tongue. Seeing is the function of the eye. Touch is the function of the skin. Hearing is the function of the ears. These are knowledge senses. Decision is the function of the mind. Discrimination is the function of the intelligence. And citta. Oh, there's a period there. Discrimination is the function of intelligence and citta. Identity is the function of ahankar. Sutra or Mahatattva is the function of pradhan. So pradhan just sits there, so its function is Mahatattva, sutra. Sutra meaning I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? Yeah. The transformations of Raja, Sattva, and Tamas are Adhyatma, Adhidaiva, and Adhiputta. All of these are manifestations of matter. The statement is a continuation of the last verse. Sardarta Darshan 11, 12, and 19. Right, so he's showing that all this is coming out of material energy. Material energy comes from him. But the thing that connects to him that we can do directly is speech. So when speech is about him, then it carries a transcendental sound. And if speech is not, then it's just a sense. And it's dealing with the modes of nature and all the things and actions of this world, so then it's just mundane. But when it's about him, then it takes on the transcendental. Otherwise, the doubt is how it can be spiritual.
And so, Maharaj, this, when it came to mind, intelligence, and ahankara, these 3 points, the Sanskrit which is mentioned, is sankalpa. Sankalpa, not just decision, but that
determination.
Determination. And then next one is vijnanam. Vijnanam is discrimination, but discrimination endeavoring in the right direction. Means your efforts are in line with, in the right direction. And then atha abhimana, the one which is saying identity, that abhimana is also being aware of the results, and then like if you do these activities and all, what results you'll get, so you're aware of what is going to be happen, and then you form your identity based on that. Basically the action aspect of it is much more than just the identity, what is mentioned in this.
You should put that as a footnote.
Yeah, because that is mentioned in the...
But don't put it after each one, put it at the... Because it's three, put it at the end of the ahankar, and then explain all three.
That is how it's explained in Lakshmi Tantra.
Yeah, and then also you give the Sanskrit that's being used in the Bhagavatam. So action is always the central thing. Means we have our identity, we have our goal, but action is actually the central thing because that's what connects the two. And so since it's an ongoing, action is always going on, therefore it's happening in the present. So therefore the identity and the goals are always connected to the present. Right? And so they're always also used at the present. So you're tasting at the present, you're acting now, you're tasting Krishna consciousness. You're acting now, your identity is being engaged. So it becomes very much the central thing. So that's the point of in knowledge. You know, the eternally blissful living entity, in, you know, in knowledge. You know, so that therefore they're always acting. So that makes sense. That's the word gadi is colloquially a word for speech. All the elements arise from the Lord. Oh, so gadgada in the Bengali. So the colloquially, okay. The meaning should be seen in Sridhar Swami's commentary. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. You have Sridhar Swami's commentary? No?
No.
Okay. Anucheda 181. Krishna's return to Braja, indicated in many places in Bhagavatam, is not stated directly as it is in Padma Purana. Sukadeva does this with a desire to hide Krishna from the materialists and to increase the longing of the devotees. Thus it is said, the Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal worship of the Lord, the Vedic sages and mantras, however, state this indirectly, since they know that I prefer this indirect method. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21-35. We accessed this before, remember? That was, what are we doing? Yeah, 11th canto. It's talking about the indirect, because there's always that hidden. You have the one, you know, you have the prakat, and there's the apricot. You know. So you have always these aspects, the hidden aspects he prefers. So that's what it's all. So meant by the sages, don't reveal the other three. Because Krishna prefers, if you're dealing with people who can, if you can discuss on that level, then naturally it's discussed. Because otherwise, why do we know about it? Because there are discussions. But it's not a common thing. Not because it's just the hidden aspect Krishna prefers, because it's naturally, if you know, you know, and if you don't know, you don't know. Like I was mentioning, yeah. Someone who knows, it's just like, let's say there's something going on, there's a group of people, and someone's talking about something, and you know, means the person involved talking and the others, you, and they're saying things in a hidden way. But you understand what they're talking about. But the point is it's not for that assembly to say, oh, so you mean like this. No, it's a matter of you respect the person's position. It's kept in that way. But you understand what's going on and why it's kept in that way. So you understand. So that's why I said, this one, you know, knows, this one knows, this one may or may not know. So,
yeah.
So this whole thing is, no, but I have to be privy to everything. But the point is, what's your qualification?
Sat.
You know?
Sat. Existence. No, if you exist, you
have that. Oh, I see, because you exist, therefore it's your right. But then, you know, that goes the other way. Everybody has the full right to know everything about you. You know, what's the latest post you put on Facebook, or you Twittered to your friends? We should know that, you know? You're here in this assembly, we're talking to you, so unless I know all that, then how is it, how can I properly speak to you?
How much money you have in your bank?
Yeah, how much, like, yeah, all these things, how you spent it and everything. Oh, but these guys, oh, how are you spending? You know, point is spending is spending, whether it's a small amount or a big amount. You know, how it's being spent. It's like that thing I think was in the Senate, they called in Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
You know? And then while he's going through and says, no, but you know, this, that, and he's quoting why he can take everybody's information and sell it and, you know, do whatever he wants with it. You know, then the guy says, okay, you've been here for, you know, you're here, you know, you're seeing, we've been discussing a few days, so you must have stayed here in, you know, in D.C. and all that, and I, you know, as far as we know, you don't have any relatives here, so you must have stayed in some hotel and all that. So would you mind telling us what hotel you stayed in, you know, what room, where you went for dinner, what you ate for dinner, would you mind? Please, you know, explain to the you know, August assembly here about all that, you know. And he says, no, why should I tell you? It's private. He says, exactly. So you won't say that to everybody, but you think it's your right to take everybody's information and use it how you like. He says, what's going on? So, you know, he says, you don't even follow. It means, if you thought it was okay, yeah, I'll tell you everything. And so then everything's going, okay, we can't complain too much. But you won't tell people, and then you're thinking it's your right to tell. So then otherwise it's our right to know all this information. How many bites did you take? You know, how did you hold the fork? Right side up or upside down? You know, the right hand or left hand? You know, are you more European or American? So if you're saying you're American, but are you all American? You know? You know, like this, you know. So it's just like, so that's the thing, is that this thing is this so-called demand that it's my right to know, when it's no, you have to be qualified. But it's not like an exclusive club. Anybody might know. That's why you see is all those pundits are there. They don't know. And the uneducated Brahmin sitting there on the side with the Bhagavad Gita, he knew. Because that's the thing, is that as soon as we say this and put in this levels of that, then we'll go, oh, who has the degrees, who has the higher things, who's that, who's been around longer, who's in what, you know, generation of initiation, or I joined in this year, and you know, this and that, or in this temple. You know, I joined in New York in a big temple. You joined in, you know, Tallahassee. It's like, who's heard of Tallahassee? You know, so then, you know, all whatever it is, you know. So these kind of things come up, and no, it's you know, it's like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that big, you know, kind of intellectual and scholar came, but he sent him down to the, he had a question. He says, no, the one that can actually give you the best answer is this devotee, and he found him at the Goshala, covered from head to foot in cow dung, right? You know. So according to Monty Python, then he wouldn't have been, you know, an authority, right? Yeah. So that's the thing. It doesn't go. So that's why you can't put too much emphasis on it. Otherwise, we'll create a false hierarchy of mundane qualification to show. You know, when it's no, it's a matter of you surrender to Krishna, and Krishna reveals, you know. And then if it's appropriate, you say, and if it's not appropriate, you don't say.
So. It's interesting also is that diploma in Sanskrit means, one of the meaning at least, as far as I know, it means upadhi. And then people in the place where we're from, you go into the office or you go into the house, the first thing hanging on the wall is all the degrees.
You know, okay.
Is that I attended this course and this year, and you know, and I've seen like the whole wall covered with those things.
Wow.
Like serious study in. And then Rupa Goswami says, "Sarvapati
Vinyuja." Yeah, so that's something. It's just that's there. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had these things, these titles and all that, because then it was respected in those, you know, in those days, because the whole culture was like that. Now you have to move in a very specific culture for anybody to care. Now it's like you're a PhD. Who cares? In the circle of academics, then it's respected. But in general, it's not. But before, in general, everybody respected. If someone had a degree, this, that. Like you're saying, it's on the wall. Everybody, it's respected.
Yeah.
Like that. But in a culture where it's not on the wall, then why would that be important? So.
Different
bodies
on the wall.
Yes, yes. Some ketchup. Oh, that was the time you were fighting over the, you know. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. Anucheta 181.
Why did you do that verse? We need
the
next bit.
Oh, turn the page. May Krishna, who is most forgiving, forgive my low self for revealing the pastimes in a diluted way.
Okay.
Vishnu quotes this statement to indicate the jiva's glorification of Swakya over Parkya is not jiva's real view.
Jiva both ones.
That's right. You have the jiva's glorification of Swakya is not jiva's real view. Is one is capital, one is small. But this may Krishna is in a deluded way. This is Jiva Goswami.
Jiva Goswami made that statement.
He made the statement. Vishnu quotes this statement.
To say that, see, he's telling this.
Then instead it quotes, Vishnu comments that this statement is indicating, you know, some, in other words, Vishnu in his comments is mentioning that Jiva Goswami says this to, because of this reason. Does that make sense? Or even just put the part from the thing. Udriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sheds light on this aspect in Jaina Dharma. Vijaya Kumar. I have heard that Jiva Goswami preferred a relationship of Swakya Bhava. Is that true? Goswami. None of Mahaprabhu's followers are devoid of pure Parakya Bhava. Who except Rupa Goswami as the guru for this rasa? Right? He taught pure Parakya Bhava. Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were the same. Jiva Goswami did not do any type of Swakya Bhajan. He showed that in Braja, some worshippers had a trace of Swakya Bhaja, Bhava. When Samartha Rati was a trace of, when Samartha Rati has a trace of Samasjasa Rati, it becomes Swakya Bhava in Braja. Those who, on establishing a relation with Krishna, manifest a slight Swakya mood are the worshippers in Swakya. Jiva Goswami had two types of disciples. Worshippers endowed with pure parakya and worshippers who had a mix of swakya. For this reason, he gave different instructions to students who had attained different tastes. In his commentary in Lochana, Rochani of Ujjwala Nilamani, there he writes, Sve Chaya Likitam. This scenario is clearly accepted. Right? So he's saying that he doesn't have, he was just talking to them because that. Maybe you could also put in the comments what's the Samartha and the Samjasa. Yes, so that we can get the, because it's been a while you forget these things. So that's the idea, is that by these sangatis and these different aspects like this, you get reminded of them again and again. And after hearing it so many times, at one point, then the memory decides, okay, I guess we should keep this one around, right? You know.
The Rati of
Maharshis
of Dwaraka is called Samanjasa.
Okay, and the Samartha?
Samartha is of the gopis.
Okay, has a trait. Okay, when the okay when the.
Basically, sadharana. There are three types. One is. Sadharana.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, Samanjasa and Samartha. Okay, okay. So
sadharana is of kubja.
Okay.
And this is my. This is proper, and Samanjasa is called what is proper, and Samartha is, it appears improper, which is actually highly proper. Because of all the discussion which is done before,
yes.
They are the actual pure Swakya.
So the Samanjasa means the Kubja one?
No. Sadharana is Kubja.
Sadharana, okay.
This is in the middle. Samadhi.
Okay, so this means like the queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it's also, yeah.
Say like Samanjasa, Sadharana Rati is like jewel, Samanjasa is like Chintamani. And Samartha Rati is supremely rare, like the Kaustubha one.
Okay. Yeah, so you can put all that down in the bottom. Yeah. Nice, just a reminder. And also, it just keeps all those terms alive.
This is, I think, in some chapter before. This is 39th chapter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This means what it means, I say. We always have to, means for our understanding of things, then we have a, so the function we're doing, then there's also a, what do you call it, that key shloka? Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Krishna's two Bhagavan Swaram for actual the philosophy, for our understanding of it, then you always have to remember Manda Sumanda Matayo. No?
Yeah.
Thus in Vrindavan, mixing of the two pastimes takes place at the proper time. This is well known at Dwarka. The Moshala pastime is illusory. That was previously shown. In reality, the Lord remains in Dwarka with his associates in a hidden way. Since the Yadus are his eternal associates, if the Lord disappeared without them, they would have destroyed the earth by actions impelled by their agitation of separation. They therefore appeared first. They disappeared first. After using the Yadu dynasty, which was protected by his arms, to eliminate the kings who, with their armies, had been the burden of this earth, the unfathomable Lord thought, although the Lord's earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion, it is not yet gone, because there still remains the intolerable burden of the Yadu dynasty itself. There still remains the intolerable burden of the Yadu dynasty itself. I think this last remain we don't need. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.1.3. It should not be thought that the Yadus were a burden because of their being adharmic. How could the Brahmins curse the Vrishnis, who are always respectful to the Brahmanas, who are charitable, who are inclined to serve seniors, whose minds were always absorbed in Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.1.8. They were famous as the best of devotees. The Vrishnis were so absorbed in Krishna that they forgot their own bodies while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, and so on. Oh, we have to. Just Nityananda Trayodasi. Yeah. But what time do programs start? They're generally later, so we'll have class.
Yeah.
Because
is it on Monday?
It's on Monday. Because generally, that I know of, they're later. They're more.
Later. Yeah. All the programs. Then we'll have
you okay. After. Yeah. That. So then we'll have class.
Yeah.
Okay. They are famous as the best of devotees. The Vrishnis were so absorbed in Krishna that they forgot their own bodies while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, and so on. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.46. The burden of the earth was not increased by their profuse numbers, since they were also unlimited mountains and oceans that the earth supported. The Lord himself explains the real reason, starting with, quote, "My dear respected elders, we must not remain any longer in this place if we wish to keep our lives intact. Let us go today to the most pure place, Prabhasa. We should not delay." Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.35. Such an illusory display of the Yadus is not proper in Dwarka. This place is the abode. Oh, okay. If we must not remain any longer in this place if we wish to keep our lives intact. So, in other words, their lives intact. Meaning, the apricot pastimes, the eternal pastimes. Then it would be inappropriate in Dwarka to have this, because then they think we'll go somewhere else. Then there'll be that illusory asset that they all left, right? And so then in Dwarka, so when they went out to there, then the apricot pastimes continued, you know. And so it's a little bit everything leaves, and then the ocean floods, but the pastimes go on.
And also the eternal associate, they stayed back.
Yes.
The demigod aspects.
The demigod aspects. They're the ones that went to Prabhas. So when they went, actually only the demigod aspect went. Mm-hmm. And the eternal associate stayed. And then they went there, and then they had, and then they went back to the heavenly planets. This place is the abode of my great bliss, the ocean of my pastimes, which gives joy to my people. It is proper to do it at Prabhas because of the methods being used. He says that they must keep their lives intact. Vishubihi, saying, Vri Jinani Tarishyamo Taner Naupir Ivar Navam. We will certainly cross over these terrible dangers through such acts of charity. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.38. However, this cannot be the real condition of the Yadus. By speaking of the Yadus as we, Asmabihi and Vayam, Krishna indicates that he and the Yadus are the same. They are identical with him and should have the same destination. Thus the Lord lives in Dwarka with them eternally. Dwarakam Harihadina Chyaktam Samudro Palavayat Kshanat Varjayitva Maharaja Srimad Bhagavad Alayam. As soon as Dwarka was abandoned by the Supreme Lord, the ocean flooded it on all sides. O King, sparing only his palace. Nityam Sannihitas Tatra Bhagavan Madhusudanaha Smritya Sesha Shubha Haram Sarva Mangala Mangalam. Lord Madhusudana, the Supreme Lord, is eternally present in Dwarka. By remembering that most auspicious of all auspicious places, one destroys all contamination. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.31.23.24. By material vision, he left Dwarka. But the next verse says he lives eternally, there eternally. Thus, he did not give up Dwarka. Harina Atyaktam Harina Akyatam instead of Harina Chyaktam. In any case, the water spread everywhere like a moat, covering everything. The ocean submerged everything by the order of the Lord. There was an external covering in the form of fluttering of the houses of material persons who were sent to Hastinapur. Footnote 5. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.30.48 says they were sent to Indraprastha. Because it's all the same scene, the Indraprastha Hastinapur. Because Indraprastha is the important, because it's the Pandavas. So Hastinapur is important because of the Pandavas. You know?
the place was destroyed in this way because built by Vishwakarma, it was mixed with the material world for Prakat pastimes. And Sudharma Hall came from Swarga. In the Aprakat pastimes, there's another more splendid hall than that. However, the ocean did not destroy the palaces of the Lord, the glorious houses of the Yadus. Even today, one can sometimes see something far off in the ocean, right? Because now and again, they come across stuff down there. So that's what they're coming across.
This was spoken by Jiva Goswami, and then they found it out only recently. And then
yeah, yeah. But you don't hear it come up as a big. It should be a big thing. You know, they find something in Africa, you know, some bone or something, and then, you know, it's a big international. But this, they don't talk about. The greatness of the place is famous. Addressing Parikit as Maharaja, great king, indicates the fame of the place. Or, Maharaja is a modifier. The ocean flooded everything except the city of Dwarka, the eternal abode of Krishna, Bhagavat Alayam, where the great Yadu kings, Maharaja, resided. Not only did the city remain, but in the palace Krishna eternally resides, Nityam Sannihita. And that's the other point, maybe just Krishna doesn't want them all down there bothering them, right? Why would the inhabitants not live there? The word Bhagavan means the Lord endowed with all his powers, such as the Yadavas. The place is described by remembering the place. Oh, the place is described by remembering the place, since one cannot see the manifested place. One destroys all contamination. There's no possibility of the place of the Lord being otherwise. Vishnu Purana says, Pla vaya masha tam shunyam dwarakam cha maho dadihi nityam san nihitas tatra bhagavan keshavo yataha atad ativa mahad punyam sarva papa pranashanam Vishnu kridan vitam sthanam drishtva papat pramuchate. The ocean flooded the empty city of Dwarka. Since Krishna resides there eternally, seeing that place most pure, filled with the Lord's pastimes, destroyer of all sins, one becomes free of sin. In Harivamsa, Narada, sent by Indra, says to the Yadus, Krishna Bhogavatim Ramyam Rishi Kantam Maha Yashaha Dvarakam Atmasat Kritva Samudram Gamayishyati. Krishna will make Dwarka attractive and full of enjoyment, dear to the sages and most famous, one with himself, and make the ocean flooded. Harivamsa 2:32. Atmasat Kritva means he did not leave the place. Shukadev spoke thus, the verse.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Jai.